This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Dr. Jim Baird. Great to see you again.
It's good to see you. Seriously.
Now, when we talk about Dr. Baird from Indiana, and part of the district includes Purdue, correct?
You bet. Yes, sir.
And I know you're proud of that.
We are proud of that.
When we look at what's going on right now back home, economic, weather-wise, what are you seeing back home right now?
I think the two biggest things on people's mind is inflation and finding a workforce, and that includes agriculture. A challenge trying to find appropriate workers, and so those two issues are a great concern to the agricultural community, as well as the manufacturing and the service industry. So we're really looking for good, steady, dependable workers. Aside from that, then we get into the increased costs for agriculture, input costs, the increase in fertilizer that has just gone skyrocketed this year. And so all of that, you know, to me, agriculture is the foundation of a lot of these rural communities. And you and I have talked about that before. You've said that before. And they really do contribute to the well-being of these rural communities. And so when we start having those kind of issues for agriculture, we need to make sure we have a farm program and that we support their progress and what they're trying to do. And so then that gets on into other issues. I don't know where you're wanting to head, but right along with that, we get into the EPA and nullifying the use of some of these things like glyphosate and dicamba. And so we think, and I think, in fact, I've joined some of my other colleagues, we sent a letter about the glyphosate Roundup and not having access to that. Now, you know, if they do have to be curtailed and for some reason, you need to do it after farmers have made your decision. I mean, they need to have the time to utilize whatever they have purchased or whatever they have in the pipeline, because they've already made that commitment. So how do you make decisions, planning decisions, and try to make a profit in agriculture when those kinds of things are occurring and you're trying to make those production decisions? So. And if you ever grew up, and I did, grew up when we didn't have access to things like Roundup, and you've seen it too. But if you didn't have access to those materials, and we use such a small amount per acre, I mean, they've really improved the technology, and we've got precision agriculture, we can use such a small amount and still accomplish the same thing. But if you grew up in a period when we didn't have access to that, I mean, the competition, it was really a race in production agriculture to try to see who got the most nutrients, whether it was the weeds or the plants you were treading. So if you ever looked at those fields, you would understand the need for those products in production agriculture.
You mentioned inputs, and we had situations this year where some producers decided no fertilizer at all. I can't afford it. We had other producers who might have said, I'll put half of my fertilizer on, really getting into maybe working against yourself on the agronomic side of that. But part of that, with a lack of availability, is that something that we could see come back to the U.S.? Does the U.S. have what it takes to get into that fertilizer business?
I think we do. I think you're right on target. You know, natural gas is one of the key raw materials, and we have sufficient quantities of natural gas. So why not use that to make our nitrogen fertilizer instead of having to depend on the imports? And so that's true of a lot of things that we have sent overseas that we're dependent on foreign countries. I'm talking about chips from foreign countries. We have access to rare earth metals right here in the U.S., particularly out in those western states, those federal lands. We need to make sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot but not having access to those kind of rare earth metals or making our own fertilizer, at least enough to have a system in place that has the ability to scale up or gear up when we have situations like we had this year. And you mentioned some people cut it in half, some people cut it out. I think part of that decision is dependent on what you've been doing prior years, whether you've built up the fertility in your soil or the fields you farm or ranch. And if you've done sufficient buildup, then there may be enough to carry you through another year. And that's a decision you have to make at the moment. I mean, you know, what's the chances? You know you're going to reduce productivity to a certain extent. But if you put over amounts of high expensive fertilizer, you've already cut your profitability and your margin. The margins are so narrow anyway. So that's a calculated plan to try to, and you know, you got to give agriculture, farmers and ranchers, their ingenuity and their ability to adapt is phenomenal, and we got to give them credit. And we need to get out. Government needs to get out of their way and let them have access to the resources they need and let them do it. Because I guarantee you, if we get out of their way, they can do it.
You mentioned earlier lack of workers.
Yes.
And I know that I believe maybe last week or week before, you actually spent some time on a little thing outside of the Capitol on workforce modernization. So maybe we don't have the workers here, but we could have the workers here. You're working on that, right?
Absolutely. And we need, you know, everyone wants to give American workers the first opportunity. The problem with that is that if someone does take a position and then decide they don't like it, it takes 30, 60, maybe 90 days to recycle and try to get access to another worker. Well, by that time, the cows they need to be milked and the hogs need to be fed and you know, the crops have matured in the field. So we need to make sure that we fine-tune that so that the farmers and ranchers have a steady, reliable supply of labor. And that's what our goal is.
It's so good to see you. I know that you've really gotten busy around Capitol Hill. It's been so exciting to watch you as you're maturing into this role here and your work with the Ag Committee and with the other caucuses. Thanks for what you do. We appreciate it.
And thank you. You know, I think it's important. I'll turn that around and say thank you for getting that kind of message out to the people that need it, because we need input from your listeners and your followers. And then you get around enough to really have a feel for what's going on in agriculture. So getting that message out is a major part of it. And we thank you for that.
Thank you for the kind words. It's Dr. Jim Baird from Indiana. He's a member of the House Ag Committee and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.